wasn't as good a man as Ephraim. I wasn't going to be.
Okay. I got a few minutes passed on. I may have to holler at somebody to close the doors. Jim, will you close the doors, please? Thank you. Good to see everybody's smiling faces this morning. Oh, did everyone get a handout? If you didn't, it's Bob's fault that you didn't get one. I think these people over here, Bob. Over there. And if you have your map and timeline handout from the very first week, get that out. I do have one left. I'm going to give it to our visitor. Specifically, we'll be looking at that timeline on the back. Numbers, okay.
I mean Genesis.
Genesis, okay. Okay, I hope you like history, because that's what we're going to be talking about this morning a lot, from Isaiah 13 through 23. We won't get all those chapters, but that's where the area that's covered as far as prophecies against nations. I like history, and I like history because it tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So that's why I like history. And I think there's a scripture someplace that tells us to pay attention to the scriptures because of what they teach us. I know there is. Where it is, I've forgotten. Okay, let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this morning, thankful for the blessings of life, and thankful that you take care of us and provide us, provide for us. Thankful for this time this morning to be with our friends and all of our fellow believers in you. We thank you for the fellowship of this church. We pray the Lord for our study. Pray for a full understanding of the book of Isaiah. We ask, Lord, that you be with us as we study. Lord, may we do all things to your glory. Pray for our children. Pray for the leaders of our country. May they lead us in such a way that we become closer to you. Be with us, Lord. Be with this church. Help us always. And Lord, forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. All right. Be turning to chapter 13. Before we start reading any part, though, let's look at this slide here that I've got up on the up there. Tells you about God's purpose. God's purpose in through this book of Isaiah. First, relationship. He is a God who seeks righteous relationship with his people and among his people, and one who will go to any length to accomplish this mission. Oppression. He is a God who knows about the oppression in Jerusalem. We have read about that a number of times already. And exposes it to public scrutiny. Isaiah chapters 13 through 23 reveals that he knows about world oppression. World oppression. We're going to look at Babylon and Assyria specifically, and how they oppressed the nations that they conquered. Judgment. He's a God who disciplines his people in order to set things right. God uses other nations to discipline. And when they exceed his instructions, he disciplines them. Okay. God's power over those powerful nations is, it becomes a central topic in Isaiah 13 through 23. And lastly, hope. Hope. In the midst of destruction, God leaves survivors, or the remnant, as it's sometimes called. Saw that in chapter 1, verse 9, and chapter 6, verse 13. The hopeful passages in the first chapters, and there was four of them. It's got them listed there up on the slide. And that's the messianic messages, hopeful passages, are echoed in the oracles against the nation, which were words of hope to those suffering under their oppressive power. Okay, so all those things we will see in these chapters about the judgment of the nations. In some of your Bibles, Isaiah is going to call them a burden. The New King James calls it a burden. The ASV calls it a burden. Others will just say prophecy, the prophecy against this nation. I think the NIV calls it prophecy. And one version calls them oracles. Okay. They all basically mean the same thing. Burden, well, it was like it was a burden to Isaiah to have to deliver this message. May have seemed like a burden to him. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. If you have your map, excuse me. If you want to look at your map, this is a map of the Assyrian. They're all the countries and nations they controlled at one time. Everything that's colored, Assyria controlled at one time. Okay, and it says the Near East at the time of Nahum. Remember who Nahum was? You remember that? Okay. We talked about that in Minor Prophets a little over a year ago. Nahum was the one who declared judgment against Assyria. Okay. His whole book, that whole book was judgment against Assyria. But here is a map during the time of Nahum when he made his prophecy. And notice how the colors, as the years pass, they change. And, well, like in 650, it loses that purple color because Egypt was no longer controlled by Assyria. And then 625, the green area is no longer controlled by Assyria. And then lastly, they lose the light red or pink colored area. Okay. And now eventually, Assyria, they're going to be destroyed. And we'll see that in one of these talks, in one of these prophecies. But I want you to see that map because that's all the area Assyria controlled, and then later Babylon is going to control all the area. Babylonia will conquer the same nations as Assyria. Okay. And then notice where Media and Elam are. Okay. The Medes and Persians, they will conquer Babylon. Okay. Okay, look for a minute at this timeline if you've got it. If not, you can look up on the slide. We're going to be talking about Babylonia. In fact, that's the first prophecy And they will be destroyed long after Isaiah's prophet. Okay, here, on our timeline, here's Isaiah. All right. Now, notice when the fall of Babylon and when Babylon is in control. Here's when Babylon is in control right here. Over 100 years later, after Isaiah dies, and after his prophecies, is when the fall of is when Babylon is in control and they fall. The Medes take over. That's right over here. Okay. The Nahum that we talked about. I'm looking for my plant pointer again. Having trouble with my pointer. Anyway, Nahum is after Isaiah. After Isaiah. It's when Nahum does his prophecy. And he, like I said before, he was talking about the destruction of Assyria. So much of what Isaiah prophesies occurs after his death, many years after his death. Okay. On your handout, it lists 12 prophecy or 12 nations. 12 nations that all will have be prophesied about. Okay. All will have an prophecy against them. Okay, the very first burden, prophecy, is against Babylon. Babylon. Okay. What do we know about Babylon? Well, there's a lot written about it. Not only by Isaiah, but by Jeremiah, and in the books of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. They are the nation that does completely destroy Judah and Jerusalem. Okay. But before that even happens, Isaiah makes this prophecy. Okay, beginning of chapter 13. Isaiah says, the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw, lift up a banner on high mountain, raise your voice to them, wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. Okay. Now, I'm skipping down to verse 9. And here's where he declares the destruction of Babylon. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened. The moon will give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. Okay. All right, now skip on down to verse 17. Here he declares who does it. Who will destroy Babylon? Verse 17, see, I will stir up against them the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no delight in gold. Their bows will strike down the young men. They will have no mercy on infants, nor will they look for compassion on children. Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the pride and glory of the Babylonians, will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, what does he mean by that? Sodom and Gomorrah is completely wiped out, right? Going to happen to Babylonia. Going to happen to Babylonia. They're going to be completely wiped out. Verse 20, she will never be inhabited or lived in for all generations. There no nomads will pitch their tents. There no shepherds will rest their flocks. Okay, stop there a minute. We know from history that the nation, the people, were wiped out by the Medes and by the Persians. Later on, the city of Babylon, and the Medes took it without force. They took over Babylon without force, just entered through it in the night and took over. We know from history that the city of Babylon survived for a while, and Alexander the Great used it. History tells us that. Later on, the city becomes ruins. But just as Isaiah prophesies here, that she will never be inhabited. After Alexander the Great stopped using it, she becomes uninhabited. To this day, it is uninhabited. Okay? History tells us that. And why was that so? Why did God pass judgment on the Babylonians? Well, he answers that in chapter 14. Okay. I've got it up on the slide, but notice what it says in verse 13 of chapter 14. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was a Babylonian king that said that. Okay. So what was his sin? Why was God angry with him? He had immense pride, didn't he? He had arrogance. He set himself as being like a god. You see that in verse 13? That's the Babylonian king talking. I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. He's considering himself greater than God, more powerful than God. And in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of clouds. I will be like the Most High. Do you remember who the Babylonian king was? Named Nebuchadnezzar? Ring a bell? Yeah, that's who he's talking about. And you can read in Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar. But it was his pride and his arrogance that was eventually led to his downfall. Now, we could spend the whole period talking about Babylon, but if we did that, we wouldn't have time to talk about the other nations. Okay, later on, we will talk some about Babylon. Okay. Well, let's go on. Let's go on to the next judgment. And this is Assyria, okay, the powerful nation before Babylon. And at the very end of chapter 14, it says this about Assyria. Verse 24. And if you get lost, just look up on at the slide. Okay, chapter 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains trample him underfoot. And his yoke shall depart from them, and his burden from their shoulder. This is a purpose that is purpose concerning the whole earth. And this is a hand that is stretched out over all nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed. And who will annul it? His hand is stretched out. And who will turn it back? Okay. As you notice how many times it said purpose. Or purposed. Okay. I think I counted four times. This is purpose or purposed. So it was God's intention, his full intention, to destroy Assyria. Okay? And no one will be able to stop it. That's his point there at the end. Who will turn it back? Who can stop it? Who can prevent it? It is going to happen. Okay? Just the way Isaiah prophesies it. Now, we know from history when this happens as well. Okay? And it is well after Isaiah makes this prophecy. Okay? He is still, it is later on in chapter 37 and 38 that it talks about it. But it is during the time of Sennacherib, King Sennacherib. Okay? His army of 186,000 men completely destroyed overnight. Okay. The Israelites didn't even go out against him. God destroyed the Assyrian army. Okay. We'll be reading about that later on. Okay, judgment on Assyria. Who comes next? Well, if you're keeping up, chapter 14, verse 28, it's going to mention Philistines. And on our map, I'm going to try once again to pinpoint it. Yeah, right there. Philistines. Okay, the red area. Notice they're right next to Judah. Okay. And there's Jerusalem right there. Okay. What do we know from history about the Philistines? Yeah. Remember the story of David and Goliath? Goliath was a Philistine. Remember that? Okay. Yeah, sure. Long before that, Samson. Remember, he went up against the Philistines. Okay. He was captured by the Philistines.
With the jawbone.
Yeah, with the jawbone, yes. And throughout the history of Israel, the Philistines were constantly a thorn in the side of Israel. Okay? It wasn't until David came along that they were conquered and made somewhat of a servant to Israel. Okay? But all the time from when the Israelites came back from Egypt up till David, they were all constantly at war with the Philistines. Well, not constantly, but every now and then they would have a war with Philistines. Okay. All right. So here is a burden against the Philistines. Okay. Let's notice what it says. Chapter 14, verse 28. This prophecy came in the year King Ahaz dies. In the year King Ahaz died. Okay, remember, King Ahaz was the third of four kings that Isaiah prophesied during. Okay. All right. The Philistines come to Isaiah, and this is what Isaiah says to them. Do not rejoice, all you Philistines, that the rod struck you is broken. From the root of the snake will spring up a viper. Its fruit will be a darting, venomous serpent. The poorest of the poor will find pasture, and the needy will lie down in safety. But your root, and there he's talking specifically to the Philistines, but your root I will destroy by famine. It will slay your survivors. Well, you gate, how, you city, melt away all you Philistines. A cloud of smoke comes from the north, and there is not a straggler in its ranks. The Philistines, they come to an end as well. And we know from history that it happened during the time of Babylonia. They ceased to be a nation after that. There are still towns named the same as they were during the time of the Philistines, but the nation of Philistines is not there no more. Wiped out during the time of Babylonia. By the time of Babylonia, Philistine was taken into captivity, Babylonian Empire, and the Philistines gradually disappeared from historical records. Okay, that's what we know from history. Okay. Next he's going to talk about Moab. Moab. Point out where Moab is. Right there. On the other side of the Dead Sea from Judah is Moab. Okay. This is going to take you back a little bit, but Lot. Who was Lot? Abraham's nephew. Okay. His descendants of Lot, they became Moabites. Okay. You remember his wife was killed, but he had two daughters, and from them those two daughters became the Moabites. Okay. Much like the Philistines, sometimes they were at war with Israel and Judah. Okay. Another story you'll remember. Balak, he was a king of the Moabites, and he came with his donkey and was going to try to trick the Israelites, the king of Israel. Okay. But the donkey wouldn't go. Okay. The donkey stopped. Remember that story. But he was a Moabite. Okay. Who else was a Moabite? Oh, yeah, Ruth. Ruth. She originally was a Moabite. Okay. Right. So they have a long history with Judah, with Israel. Okay. In Isaiah 15, the very first verse, beginning with the very first verse, the burden against Moab, because in the night Ar of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. Ar is a city. Ar is a city in Moab. In the night it will be wasted and destroyed. Because in the night, Kir of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. Moab will wail over Nebo and over Medeba, and all their heads will be baldness and every beard cut off. Okay, so Nebo and Medeba were also cities. And in their streets they will clothe themselves with sackcloth on the tops of their houses, and in their streets everyone will wail, weeping bitterly. Hezbon and Elah will cry out. Their voices shall be heard as far as Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab will cry out, and their hearts are faint. All right, so somebody's going to come up on them, destroy their cities, and they will, those that are survive, they're going to be mourning, and they're going to try to get away, right? That's what we can read from that. Okay. Now, go to chapter 16. And we're going to see what their sin was. Why God was angry with them. We have heard of the pride of Moab. How great is her arrogance. Of her conceit. Her pride. And her insolence. But his boast, that is the boast of Moab, her boasts are empty. Okay, verse 12. And it shall come to pass when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that he will come to his sanctuary to pray, but he will not prevail. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hired man, the glory of Moab will be despised of all that great multitude. And the remnant will be very small and feeble. Okay. So how long? 3 years. Within 3 years of Isaiah's prophecy, only a handful of Moabites will be left. And again, what was their sin? What was their crime? What did it tell us up in verse 6?
Pride,
yeah, huh? Arrogance, conceit, okay. Insolence. Okay. Doesn't tell us that they set themselves up as being greater than God, but we can obviously know that they didn't look to God, did they? Didn't trust in God. Didn't look to God for help. So there's some that survive, and that's what it's saying there at the end. A remnant will be very small and feeble. And they're taken in by the Judeans. Okay? We know that from history. So this must have been the time that Isaiah was still prophesying. Okay? And it must have been by the Assyrians. Because that was who was in control. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
We could vote. Mm-hmm. That didn't work for them, so it probably won't work for us. But for some reason, they can't seem to focus. And that, through all of history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rome, same thing. The destruction of Rome. As we go through, we see that thread all the way. And yet, here we sit today. Nation as glorious as ours, things that caused the demise of a nation and correct them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We don't look at history anymore, do we? We don't pay attention to what's happened. What happened to Israel many times. Many times. They forgot about God. They forgot God delivered them. God saved them several times. Mm-hmm.
We got it going our way, so we don't need God anymore. We get it our way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Every nation that has gone into decadence and been destroyed is for the very same reason.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right, yeah.
Lust of the flesh, yes, lust of the eye, and the pride of life.
Yes.
And Lord, when we fall prey to those,
you're
ready.
Yep. And pride often leads to other sins, too. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. The important thing is that when they lose trust in God, forget about God, don't look to Him. All right, Moab, okay, so that's Moab. Let's go on to the next one. We're going to look at, on your map, it's the blue one and the green one. Okay, where it says Kingdom of Aram, Damascus, that was Syria. Damascus was their largest city. And the kingdom of Israel, the northern tribes, Samaria was their largest city. Okay.
Where is that now?
Okay, here's Syria, the green one. Kingdom of Aram and Damascus. And there's their city, largest city, Damascus. Okay. And then the blue one is the northern tribe. 10 northern tribes. Samaria, by that time, had become their capital, biggest city. Okay. Now, remember back, we talked about a few weeks back, how they came up against Judah, Syria, and the northern tribes did. We talked about that in few Sundays back, and they actually did defeat Judah in battle, but they didn't take over Jerusalem. Okay, here Isaiah is going to pronounce judgment on those two countries, which had become like joined together. They had formed an alliance. Okay, this is in chapter 17. Very first verse of chapter 17. Prophecy against Damascus. Okay. Again, Damascus, that's the biggest city in Syria. Prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city. It will become a heap of ruins. Okay, I still got 5 minutes. Maybe we can finish this, at least this one. The cities of Aurora will be deserted and left to flocks. Okay, that's an area that's part of Syria. The cities of Aurora will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. Four or five cities will disappear from Ephraim. Ephraim, a tribe of the northern kingdom. And royal power from Damascus, the remnant of Aram, will be like the glory of Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. And in that day, the glory of Jacob will fade. Okay. Again, all those 10 tribes were descendants of Jacob. That's what he's talking about when he says, the glory of Jacob. The fat of his body will waste away. It will be as reapers harvest the standing grain, gathering the grain in their arms, as when someone gleans heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet some gleanings will remain. Okay, so he's saying that some will survive. Some people will survive. Like gleanings, a little bit is left. Okay, there'll be some survive. Some gleanings will remain, as when an olive tree is beaten, leaving two or three olives on the topmost branches, four or five on the fruitful boughs, declares the Lord God of Israel. In that day they will look to their Maker and turn to their eyes the Holy One of Israel. Okay, skip on down to verse 12. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of mighty waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, an eventide trouble, and before the morning he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us. So what does he mean by all that? What does he mean by all that? Well, perhaps it would be more clear if we look at Psalms 46. I'm going to read part of Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Okay. And so on. God is in control. That's what that is saying. And God is in control of the nations. Even though they may think themselves in control, God is in one and ultimate control. And that's what Isaiah was saying about the kingdom, the northern kingdom, and the Syrians. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Anyone have any comments or questions? Okay. We'll have more to say about the other nations next week. And I urge you to read chapters 18 through 23. Okay. It's going to talk about Ethiopia. It's going to talk about Egypt, Arabia, what happens to them. Isaiah prophesied it long before it happened. Okay. Next week. Yeah.